The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Beth Moore.
You want to talk about an empty vessel? If we do not go to God to get that cup filled, let me tell you, we're going to get ourselves into a tremendous amount of trouble because there is something very real inside of each one of us that not only needs to be full, I've got to know somebody totally loves me.
Stay tuned as Beth teaches us to be filled to the measure. Next.
Welcome to Life Today, and especially Wednesdays with Beth, and this is a really special program. You're going to hear the message, the story, the illustration of the presence and power of God that has basically gone viral with Beth Moore, the entire clip. You're going to hear her tell a story that the whole world ought to hear, that should register with every one of us as Christians. She's teaching on the resources of God and how God blesses you to beyond measure, to overflowing. And the part of that overflowing presence is His direction and the communication He has with us so that He directs what we do. He basically orders our steps. And you're going to hear that. And you're going to see how important it is to heed that voice. Also, at the conclusion of the program, we want you to get more than enough because God wants you to have more than enough. He don't want you to be troubled by bad news. You read Psalm 112, those who are generous and compassionate and where they honor God and put Him first, they don't fear bad news. You don't need to fear bad news. We'll tell you how you can get the teaching series more than enough because it's going to bless you. But here's Beth Moore. And I'm telling you, you can get ready to get blessed, and you're going to want to pass this on. You'll even want to direct people to YouTube to hear her tell the story you're about to hear. Here's Beth.
Everything we switch out for what Christ came to minister to our souls, every bit of that is an idol. Every bit of that. So we have struggles thinking of the Old Testament concepts of their culture when really we understand this one. We are a culture that certainly understands idolatry. And we'll turn to substitution. I want you to hear some words out of Isaiah 44, verse 20. Jot down that address, but I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah 44, verse 20. Another name, as we're thinking in the terms of idolatry, it says this so perfectly. He feeds on ashes. A deluded heart misleads him. He cannot say to himself, is not this thing in my right hand a lie? A deluded heart misleads him. The Word of God tells us that above all, the heart is deceitful. Your heart, if you're just going to go straight on emotion, on how you feel, especially before that heart begins to get sanctified and get some fullness from Christ. When we're still just an accident waiting to happen, that heart will lie like a dog to us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many bad relational decisions have we made because of a deluded heart? And it says that with this deluded heart, we can't look down in our right hand and go, what I'm doing to try to fill my emptiness is one big fat lie. It is a lie. It is a lie. It's what's at the base and at the root of every addiction. Because it lied. And now we've got to have more. And we got to have a little more than we did last time because then, of course, we kind of adjust to that level and more, more and more. Subsistence or substitution? You sit tight right there in Luke 4, but I want to read you some stunning words out of Jeremiah 2 that speak to this perfectly. It says in verse 13 of Jeremiah 2, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. When we dig our own cisterns, it's not going to work. It is not going to work. It has cracks in it every time, and everything that we pour into it just pours out of it. when I come before Christ and I say to him, all right, Lord, I mean, I am a need waiting to be filled. And see, that's fair. That's fair. And I know I got cavernous places in my soul. Psalm 90 says, satisfy me in the morning with your unfailing love. And that's exactly what we see in Ephesians 3. Let's turn back there right now. Let's take a look at this because I want you to note something. In being filled to the measure that is specified in Ephesians 3, notice with me that it says, in the context of grasping how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that there it says that you may know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Oh, please go there with me, because you and I don't just need to be full. We need to be full of somebody's love. Every single one of us has an innate, overwhelming, not just desire to be loved, but a need to be loved. You are never at greater risk, nor am I, than when we are not feeling properly loved. We will look for that. You want to talk about an empty vessel? If we do not go to God to get that cup filled, let me tell you, we're going to get ourselves into a tremendous amount of trouble because there is something very real inside of each one of us that not only needs to be full, I got to know somebody totally loves me. And that I cannot change that no matter what I do. What the Word of God is teaching us is how to come to Him. That before He fills me up, I got to empty myself out. That's when I'm going to come and I'm going to bring Him my confessions of sin. I always have something to confess. And I'm going to bring Him my concerns. I'm going to tell on people that have hurt my feelings. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to do all of those things. And then after I just empty myself out before Him, I want to ask Him, Lord, You come and You just overtake me. See, the filling of the Spirit is not about a spiritual gift. It's about a state of being full. But with that fullness comes power. And you never know what you're going to do with that kind of power. Something beyond you. I want to tell you a story that I told many, many years ago that remains dear to me, particularly because people bring it back up to me over and over again. It's probably the thing I've been asked about as much as anything regarding stories and Bible studies along the years. But it's such a statement in my own life and such a memory of God overtaking me and enabling me to do something I couldn't do. You have no idea how dangerous you would be if you would live filled to the measure with the fullness of Christ. I was headed off to the east side of the country to Asheville, North Carolina to speak. I'd been memorizing scripture and I remember very clearly I was memorizing John chapter 1 at the time. And I was on the airplane and the way I do my memory work is I have to say it. I read it, then I say it out loud, and I read it, and then I say it out loud, and I read it, and then I look away from it and see if I can say it. So I've done it over and over again until I got stumped on a passage, and the guy sitting next to me completed my sentence, and he was not happy about it. He had no desire to memorize John chapter 1. None. So I got to my layover, and I was about to go. I was going into a small town. I was going into Asheville. So I was about to move to a prop. So I was having to go to a part of the airport that was just one large room where you went off into several different halls down to the smaller plane. So it was for a small airport and a small part of the terminal. It was packed, absolutely packed. And our chairs were all facing one another. So there was a set of chairs that were against the wall, and then I was in the one straight across from them. And I was totally immersed in my memory work. The only reason I'm telling you this is I was filled to the measure. I'd had a wonderful morning with Him. And I was filled to the measure. So I was sitting Indian style in my jeans and sweater, and I had my Bible open on my lap, and I was just going back over and back over. Boy, I was getting it. I was all the way down to about verse 18, and boy, it was coming to me. I was having a great time. And suddenly I see that the eyes of all the people against the wall are watching something behind me. And it was like a movie because all of their eyes shifted this way, this big around, and they began to come this way. Whatever it was going right behind me. And I'm thinking, oh, I wish I were looking. Are you like that? I'm a people watcher. I was so desperately thought, what are they looking at? And I can't wait to look for myself until it comes all the way around here. And then suddenly in my peripheral vision, I begin to see a little of it. And it is a flight hostess that is pushing up a man in a wheelchair right to the end of my row. And there's nobody between us. And this place is packed. So I want you to know that Jesus went to a significant amount of trouble to make sure that I saw this man. So I wait until everybody else gets more polite, and then I go. And when I look over at him, he was the oddest sight. He looked like he was not one iota less than about 129, and I'm not kidding. This was the oldest looking person I had ever seen. Not only that, but he had gray hair that was down to here. His fingernails were every bit as long as mine. He was clean, but it's just an odd sight. His pants, it looked like that he had obviously lost a lot of weight because they were just bunched up. I'll never forget how he looked, and he was just, his head was just hanging down like this, and his hair was in strings like this, huh? Whoa, it's one of those times where you think, that is Howard Hughes. That has got to be Howard Hughes. You think any moment I'm gonna have an Elvis sighting. You know, it's that kind of thing. That this is what's happening in the airport today. And so I can hardly take my gaze off of him. So I try to get my face back down my Bible, go back to my memory work. This is how much God thinks of us just memorizing scripture, but not doing anything with it. Because the Lord begins to compel my heart, overwhelms me, overwhelms me. Well, I have learned, I've walked with him a long time. I knew by now, that is scary. That God is up to something when he is overwhelming your heart like that. And I just thought, oh, please, God, no. Oh, please, please, God, no. Because I'm already knowing he wants me to witness to this man. And so I say to myself in my spirit, now I'm not talking out loud, but in my spirit, I'm talking to God silently, and I'm saying, I'm sure my mouth is going, because I say to him, do not make me witness to that man. And now I'm going to tell you, as clear as I'm talking to you now, the Lord spoke to my heart. The very few times I've ever heard God be this articulate with me. And I'm telling you word for word, these words came into my heart. I'm not asking you to witness to him. I'm asking you to brush his hair. Lord, that man needs witnessing to. What good is combed hair if a man is lost? And I can tell, Lord, that man, I am your witness. I am your witness. I am your witness. I am your girl. Me. I got the Roman road, amen? Still in my heart. I mean, we are just having a fight. I didn't tell you to witness to him. I told you to brush his hair. I thought, I don't have a hairbrush. You know, I fix my hair. And then it's done for the day until I unfix it. And the brush is in the luggage. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I said, I don't even have a hairbrush. And the Lord's still compelling me. Come on. So I get up, walk over, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't even have a hairbrush. You know, I was supposed to be thoroughly equipped unto all good work. I do not have a hairbrush. I walk over. I get right in front of the man. His head's hanging down like this. I lean down like this. I said, sir, may I have the honor of brushing your hair? And he says, what? A little louder. Sir, may I have the honor of brushing your hair? He goes, little lady, if you want me to hear you, you're going to have to speak up. Sir, may I have the privilege of brushing your hair? To which everyone in the airport goes, whoa. And I can feel every eye just piercing me just like this. And I'm just humiliated. And he looks at me and says, if you want to. And I'm going, I don't. I don't want to. I went, yes, sir. I would absolutely love to. But my problem is, I don't have a hairbrush. He says, I have a hairbrush. He said, it's back in my bag. So I go all the way around the wheelchair. His bag is on the back of it like this. I get down on my knees. I unzip this little duffel bag, and I start pulling out his clean undershirts, his pair of pajamas, all sorts of things. And as I do, I cannot tell you the feeling that overwhelms me. I'm just flooded with the love of Christ. I found the hairbrush. It's one of those real old bristle ones. Doesn't look anything like our brushes do now. And when I stood up, I began then. I went over to him, and I thought, you know, to tell you the truth, this is what I'm good at. I had two girls. I'm good at this. So I just came and I just began to brush his hair, and it was so matted that I couldn't even believe it. And so I had to get down to the very bottom of it, and I just brushed the very ends of it, and then just a little bit. It took us forever. And I want to tell you, I was oblivious to everybody else in that room. At that point, nobody else was alive to me. I just kept brushing and kept brushing until that hair was as smooth as silk. I went back around to him and squatted down in front of him, put my hands on his hands. They were on his knees. His head was just like that. And I said, sir, do you know Jesus? And he said, yes, I do. I said, well, of course you do. That figures. I wanted to share the gospel with you. But no, you need your hair brushed. And he told me that his old bride of so many years would not marry him until he came to know Christ. And he said, I was just sitting here thinking to myself, and he wept. I'm about to cry telling you. He said, I was just sitting here thinking what a mess I must be for my bride. He'd been in that hospital for months, and he was about to return back home. Nobody had cut his hair or anything. I don't know how long it'd been since he'd been brushed. That hostess came and put him on the plane, and she came back out, and she was crying. I mean, hard. And she said, what made you do that? And I said, Jesus, he's the bossiest thing. She did need Christ, so I did get to talk to her. He knows what our need is. Man didn't need witnessing to. He needed his hair brushed. When we are filled to the measure with the fullness of Christ, you sweet thing, you cannot believe the needs we can meet. We can do what we know we can. And while you're doing it, you're just thinking, that ain't me. That really ain't me.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Wow. That's God. Beth, sure love you. Lord, I sure love you. Making Beth that sensitive. I could tell you story after story, very, very similar. Some that are so amazing, you'd say, James, that knocks my shoes off. Well, God wants you to live with that kind of blessing. I want to ask you, if you would, and you'll hear Beth talking about something that missionaries have brought to our attention right now. As we close the year and begin a new year, missionaries oftentimes say, here's something we really need some help in. We need some emergency feeding in malnutrition clinics. We need thousands and thousands of these emergency feedings to save children under five. Situations almost unbearable to behold and look at. I want you to watch.
This child's 3 years old, and you can see all of the traditional signs of just a bad case of malnutrition. Their hair changes color, their hair really thins out.
This, what you see, this is the real Bombay. And children do not have anything. Whatever food that this child is holding right now that you see, whatever they get is whatever they pick up over here, something is lying down, whatever they find. Or if somebody just, you know, throws something from the rickshaw or something.
No, it's an inconceivable sight. There's nothing that prepares you to see a child in this kind of condition. It is almost unbearable. And you know, I think, how in the world does this happen?
In many countries around the world, severe drought, famine, and shrinking food supplies have left the youngest of the young feeling the harshest effects. Mortality rates are on the rise, and it is the infants, toddlers, and those under the age of five that are most susceptible to disease and sickness.
This is a typical little, poor little child's doll. This little baby closes its eyes and opens its eyes. There's some little child's toy. And you know, one of the saddest things of all, Betty, is that many of the little children that play with this before they're five, they die. in their little eyes close, like this little doll. They close and never open again. And we want to give them a future hope. Too many times, a little baby's got his eyes closed. But when they set them up, try to wake them up, they can't ever open their eyes, they're gone. And every organization, I don't care whether it's the UN reports or World Feeding and Food Program reports or missionary reports, most of the deaths with these children are under five. Many of them are just babies and infants. Malnutrition. The malnutrition clinics, it's a part of our mission feeding outreach, but it's a very special, highly focused part, very expensive. Even by our standards, we might not think so, but it takes 50 cents for each one of those meals, and the missionaries tell us they need 400,000 emergency nutritious feedings made available to them right now. So I want to ask you to dial the number and make the greatest gift you can. This is a great way to begin your new year. Say, I want to do something really special, help these missionaries, save these little children's lives. As Beth said, you heard Beth Moore say, it's unbearable. You can't hardly stand to look at this. Unimaginable. But it's correctable. It's not like some disease for which there's no cure. You and I have the cure. I want to ask you to make the greatest gift you can. Dial the number, use your bank card, and help us provide as many meals as you can. If you could give several thousand dollars to provide hundreds and hundreds of these meals, then do it. If there's any way you could give $100 and enable us to provide a couple of hundred meals, do it. But we want to send you a teaching series on more than enough, because God literally says that He will give you more than enough. Listen to what His Word says. And He's talking about giving. He's talking about when you share. When you give cheerfully, when you give to meet a need, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. In this teaching series, we show you how putting God first, Robert Morris' teaching on the blessed life. And I heard him teach this at our church again recently. And I said, Robert, that message needs to go around the world. Well, it is. It's in the process of going. You need to hear this. I mean, when I listen to him, it was all I could do to contain myself. Because he said, you know, it's so great, not when people get it about getting, but when they get it about giving, because when you get it about giving and releasing life, you get it about living. Because real life is really a release of that which God not only has entrusted to our watch care, but what He's put within us. That's His love and His compassion. And we release this toward others. The world is not only waiting to see it, they're longing to see it. And when they see that release of love and compassion, and they see people get it concerning the management of their resources and the release of, God pours out His blessings. And you don't get caught up in measuring yourselves among yourselves about who has how big a house or how big a car or what kind of, you don't do that, it doesn't matter. All that matters is whatever you have, it never so possesses you or your possessions so controlled you that you can't see needs and meet those needs in others. Let us send you the teaching. Jimmy Evans talks very directly to couples. What an anointing he has. Rabbi Lapin teaches in a book as a Jewish rabbi the Old Testament truths that have enabled the Jewish people to have understandings that have enabled them to prosper in some of those challenging times. These are biblical truths. Give us an opportunity to share these resources with you. We'll send you the CD teachings. We'll send you the book that I've written on true prosperity, so much more than money. It's about life. If you'd like to have the resource material and the books that I have found to be so inspiring and so challenging, make a gift of $100 to help us provide a couple of hundred of these emergency feedings, and we'll send you those books also. They'll become a part of a treasured library to help you manage the treasures God has entrusted to your watch care. Dial the number, use your bank card like a check, write a check, make it to Life. Or you can go to lifetoday.org and help us touch others and ask for these incredible resources. God has, for you, more than enough.
In recent weeks, we've seen more and more young children under the age of 5 coming to our life centers, clinics, and feeding stations. Most are severely malnourished, requiring special care to properly feed them. Mortality rates are quickly on the rise, and it's a need that certainly cannot be ignored. With your help, we can provide an additional 400,000 emergency nutritional feedings that are specially formulated for children under 5, including powdered milk and intravenous feedings. At a cost of 50 cents per meal, your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help provide 50, 100, or 200 emergency nutritional feedings. With your gift, we'll send you More Than Enough, a new dynamic 8-part audio teaching series that will show you God's plan for your financial peace and provision. Also included is James Robison's insightful book, True Prosperity. With your gift of $100 or more to help provide 200 emergency feedings, you may also request these dynamic books, Thou Shall Prosper by Rabbi Daniel Lappin, Money, Greed, and God by author Jay Richards, and Who Switched Off Your Brain by Dr. Caroline Leaf. Finally, as a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide 2,000 emergency feedings, and you may also request the Back by Popular Demand as the Deer bronze sculpture. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today at lifetoday.org.
You know, many of our viewers have asked if they could get the bronze, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul panteth for you. You make a gift to help us provide 2,000 of those meals or more, make a gift of $1,000 or more. Some of you may say, you know what, I can do even more than that. But we'll send you More Than Enough, send you the teaching series and material and the books that'll bless you and this beautiful bronze. We need that kind of gift from those of you who can help. Thank you for doing it. He does have for all of us more than enough. Because He is more than enough. God bless you. Thank you for being a part, joining us, blessing others. Thank you so much.
What a curse to live your life not having enough or just enough. And if I just make one little mistake, I blow the whole thing.
More Than Enough tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.